The noise was unbelievably quick and almost paralyzingly loud, and the terror it brought, fleeting though it was mind-numbing. Until you've been attacked by a fast jet bomber, you can't imagine what it's like. Forget the movies, they're a joke. Even standing at the end of an airport runway and listening to the big 747s come and go doesn't come anywhere near. The plane passed over us at a height of around 30 feet. He'd have knocked the chimney pots off my house back home, and doing well over 600 miles an hour. At low level, and at that speed, the sound of its howling turbofan engine was here and gone in a matter of seconds, like a deafening, horrifying thunderclap that turned my insides to mush. The almost overwhelming urge, if you have time, is to hide, to dive into a trench, to get behind rocks, to find some sort of cover. But that's not an option for professional soldiers, and it certainly wasn't an option for Rapier missile operators. Our job was to do the exact opposite, to sit there, naked to the world, in the hot seat of the system, and try to shoot the enemy down. It wasn't a comfortable experience. Our positions were always highly exposed, and our camouflage was next to non-existent, and the pilots knew what we had in mind. This one had come over the hill behind us just after we finished our T's and A's, tests and adjustments, sticking to the contours of the land to make it even harder for us to hit him, and banking away in search of our ships as he passed above. I could see the word Armada stenciled on the side of the white-bellied plane, and the bombs on his underside, and the helmeted head of the pilot turned downwards to look at us. Then he was gone, leaving nothing but his downdraft, and hot smell of kerosene exhaust and a loud ringing in my ears. Nearby, a platoon of infantrymen were yelling abuse and letting rip with their SLRs and a GPMG, several hundred rounds disappearing into the pale blue sky in a futile gesture of defiance. It's extremely hard to hit a fast jet with a rifle, but the boys were having a good go. To my right, one of our missiles roared off the beam as Quinny engaged the Argentinian, but he pulled right and disappeared around the headland and away to safety, and the missile fell harmlessly into the sea. I watched him all the way as he streaked out of sight, and silently thanked God that he had other targets in mind that day. The unlucky ones didn't get that chance. At those speeds, if he's on his bombing run and he knows what he's doing, by the time you've heard the jet, you're already on your way to the next world, propelled there by a couple of tons of high explosive and a vicious hail of supersonic steel shrapnel. That was my introduction to the A4 Skyhawk, one of a number of planes thrown at us by the Argentinians during the Falklands War. The A4 was a 40-foot, 8-ton workhorse of a killer which would go on to wreak havoc on our shipping during the conflict, destroying the Coventry, the Antelope, and the Sir Galahad, and taking a lot of good lads with them. A number of pilots lost their own lives, flying with an almost reckless bravery that you had to admire, even while you hated the bastards and wanted them all dead. As the sound of the disappearing jet blended into the background noise of the wind and cooling seagulls, I got on with digging my trench. We'd only landed on the Falklands a couple of hours before. As I dug, my mind was buzzing with adrenaline, and my heart was still thumping in my chest. Although we'd had an air raid warning, I hadn't heard a thing until he was almost on top of us, and the reaction time was close to zero. If we'd ever entertained any doubts that this war was the real thing, and that people were going to die, they were surely gone now. This was deadly serious.